And it's just, I don't want to see these old ladies get abused by mean producers who are like forcing them to cry.
Them to have like three drinks. It's like, I haven't had a drink since my first husband passed.
And now you're shit faced on television.
Right. I hate my fucking grandson. You know, like, oh no.
And now actually I'm like, maybe this is going to be the best version of The Bachelor we ever see created. Welcome to TV I Say with Ashley Ray, your go-to podcast for discovering what to watch on TV and getting behind-the-scenes insight from the people who make the shows you love. You just heard a little tease of my chat with John Gabers, one of my favorites. He just helped me get through a Beyonce concert thanks to a wonderful weed product he created. And we're going to get into all the TV he's watching, dad TV mostly, but don't worry, we're also going to talk about Alone and Just Like That. And we get very much into Big Brother and those international spinoffs that made me clutch my pearls this week when I heard about what they're doing over there in Europe on Big Brother. It's an exciting conversation, so let's just get right into it. Enjoy my interview with John Gabers. John Gabers, welcome to TV Club. Let's get right into this because, yeah, we do the whole before we dive in, why don't you tell me about myself? Everybody knows.
It's a fucking Earwolf podcast. You and I have done each other's shows countless times.
I'm gonna give you a shout out for something that maybe people don't know, which is that you just did a collab with PAX.
Oh hell yeah, my little PAX era vaporizer.
PAX era vape. I got to get one, and let me tell you, I brought that to the Beyonce concert because I knew I could bring it in. It's tiny, it's pink. Yes, it's so cute. I got a pink one. I was like, oh, you knew I wanted pink. Brought it to the Beyonce show. It elevated the entire experience.
It's my go-to movie theater bathroom ripper. Like while I do my last pee before I get my drink before the movies, I do a big old rip from the High and Mighty packs, and ooh yeah, gets you right. It's perfect for events because it's like,
I was right in the middle of SoFi Stadium, just like hitting my thing, and people were like, what's that? And I'd be like, I don't know.
It's not me
with my cute little pink thing. Absolutely not.
Hell yeah.
It was so adorable. Actually, Beyonce from the stage stopped just to be like, I just want to say I really love that vape you're using.
Is that the High and Mighty PAX era collab?
So, and yeah, like, that's exactly. And I was like, yeah, oh my God, you're a Gabers fan. And she was like, absolutely. So I just want to let the people know that, really.
Well, that's good to know. Thank you, Ashley. And that is something I am, expanding my boundaries here. I'm trying to keep the lights on here at High and Mighty Studios.
aren't we all during this very long strike? How are you doing? How's it been?
It's been okay. I, of course, was never really that successful in Hollywood before this, so I have a bunch of other means to survive, a la podcasting, Patreons, influencer bullshit, like all the stuff I do.
I got a day job. I was like, you know what? I got to go back to the day job advertising. I had to do what I had to do.
You're not going to catch a fucking lick of judgment. Only a dash of jealousy from your boy Gabers over here. Even once the strikes are over, I wasn't fucking dropping the hammer on Hollywood before the strikes happened, you know, and I don't know
but now,
what the industry is going to look like after and if I'm going to be invited to it in any way.
Right. So. It's like, I don't know how long my next staffing thing will be. So I'm going to be working over here, getting the fine parents of America to buy various products.
Thank you,
and I'm
going
to feel good about it.
Yeah.
But I feel like we are hitting that part of the strike where people said, you know, most people aren't going to notice that TV is going to get worse. They aren't going to notice that everything's reality TV. We've hit that wall where people notice. My mom was on the phone at me yelling because ABC was playing back-to-back episodes of The Conners for 5 hours.
Yeah, I watched football last night, and the commercials were for... Normally, one thing I enjoy watching my New York Giants. Not last night when they lost 40-0 to division rivals, the Cowboys. That hurt. But I like watching, I don't really watch a lot of stuff with commercials. So when I watch these show, when I watch football, you get those ads for shows that you don't wouldn't normally watch. You're like, Million Little Pieces, huh? Like, you know, you just like learn about network dramas that way. And nothing was popping off. Like, nothing. Yeah.
It's usually like, oh, Million Little Pieces has been on for 6 years, huh?
Oh, and shit. Now I have two friends on this show or whatever. You know, like,
now it's nothing. Like, my mom is truly like, Ashley, what the TV is just like Love Island and reality shows, and then just like episodes of Abbott Elementary I've seen 80 times.
Oh man. It's why I hope people start feeling it. I hope like the Stranger Things fanatics start showing up to fucking Hollywood and Van or Sunset and Van Ness and start going apeshit at Netflix. That's who we need to like fandoms need to get activated. The people who are craving the next season of blank, they need to start fucking going.
You need
going.
To get out there because if the strike keeps going, I mean, they already said Netflix is going to do the de-age software for the Stranger Things kids because they're supposed to be like, what, 14 and they're all like 25.
That stresses me out too. I mean, I don't want to step on Millie Bobby Brown's bag at all. So she can, so let her get her bag, but that's fucking crazy. We're de-aging kids.
We're de-aging actual children because Netflix not refused children to enough, give into the strike.
Yeah. For fuck's sake.
That's where we are. It's just but one thing that I think has been pretty positive as someone who loves reality TV, like they are really digging into the trash at this point.
Yeah,
I feel like we're getting to the point where it's like they have this show where celebrities pretend to be on Mars.
Wait, I've been seeing clips from that on X and I have no idea what this, it's like Lance Armstrong. Like I had no idea what it was in
like
reference to.
Lance Armstrong, it's hosted by like a Olympic winning, what are those people who skate on ice? Ice skaters, one of them. And I don't know why this person is like, I would be an expert on how people would live on Mars.
Marshawn Lynch is on it too, right?
Yeah, like it's the wildest mix of celebrities, like Tatiana Ali, I believe.
Oh, shit.
Like, or is it Layla Ali, who's Muhammad Ali's daughter?
Oh yeah, Tatiana Ali, I think is from
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Yes. But Layla Ali is on it, and it's just celebrities pretending they live on Mars, but it's just a sound studio, and they're like, no, if you go outside, you'll die, and it's like, no, if you go outside, you'll be in like the valley. It's like.
They're like playing like it's Big Brother, but like the gimmick is that they're on Mars. So do they have to, like,
and they have challenges
like the astronauts eat and shit, or like they have to poop in like vacuums.
Yeah. And like do everything how an astronaut does. And I think they throw challenges at them. Like they're like, oh, no, your space lettuce was contaminated. What are you going to do? And it's like, who's going to be the leader?
Oh, I can't find myself giving a shit about that.
Exactly.
<at all>. Yeah.
I can't care. It's like that. And then they also have this new army show where celebrities pretend to like join the army and do like very difficult challenges to prove themselves, but it's just like Jamie Lynn Spears.
I like bad celebrity reality shows like that because if they last, there's a chance I could be on them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think a lot of celebrities are dying to be on the army, but for me, when they go down to D-list, like I've said this countless times, but I do not want Alone, my favorite reality show, to do a celebrity season until I'm a celebrity.
Like, exactly.
Hold off until I'm a celebrity, please. I want to be on that. So that shit appeals to me a little bit. Here's the thing, Ashley. I feel bad saying this. I work a lot in Unscripted as a host and producer and stuff like that. But I like competition reality. I really love travel, lifestyle, cooking reality a lot. But I don't really love like whatever the other, the third kind of reality is.
I feel like
follow
it's
docs
like
or
everything
whatever.
Else.
Yeah. I don't really love that. And it's funny because before the strike, I was really, you know, my wife got really into Vanderpump as someone was like, right before Scandal, she's like, no, you have to watch. And she just like got hooked. She's always been into like the Housewives and that kind of world. And so it's on in my house. And I just don't have a palette for it. Like, and I think about it a lot because so many people love it. And I like tons of shit that sucks. Like, you know this about me. And I know we're both
I love
rampant
stuff
omnivores of television content. Yeah. I watch a lot of bad stuff, but there's something for me that these shows, I feel, look, I'll just say it. I grew up in a house full of drunk people yelling. So I do think part of my disdain for these shows is like drunk people yelling. And it's like, and it feels weird. And then I get in my head about how it's incentivized for them to behave poorly. Like,
oh yeah,
I can't get over that Scandoval, like cheating on your wife, it was like mutually beneficial for them. Like
it
like,
worked out for everyone yes. involved. Yeah, it's I mean, like people tangential to the was sh- the career move.
Yes, the tangentially everyone, if they get paid episodically, they got more episodes. The show, it revitalized the show, and that just hurts my heart. Not that I give a shit about their marriage, and grown-ups are allowed to do whatever they want to do. But there's something upsetting that like us watching it, Bravo paying them, how the economy all works, that they benefited from a divorce. Like they got like so a lot of people benefit from divorce and that it turns their lives around. But like to go through something that was like a cheating scandal and it helps everyone in like. Yeah. We're rewarding
Where
the
else
wrong
can
behavior.
That yeah, yeah where we're just like, you got us ratings. This is great. Do you want to be an influencer for my makeup brand?
Yes. Like- do you want to do fucking ads for insert any product here? Now that you're huge and are an cuckold. No, that's not the word we're looking for. I was gonna say infidel.
Infidel,
that's,
yeah.
That's someone who does infidelity. That's not an infidel. I think that might be something.
An adulterer. That's
adulterer. That's the word I was.
I was gonna
for.
Be like a bastard. And I remember as a kid, I was watching King of Queens with my mom. And if you remember, there's a whole storyline where Doug's friend cheats on his wife.
Of course, I remember all of the King of Queens storyline.
Yes, as one does. And
well, let me just check my dry erase board of Kings of Queens.
Right? Yeah. Yes, when the friend, not the Patton Oswalt friend, the black friend,
of course,
cheated on his wife.
Black people, how dare they?
Yeah. We'll get into the problematic aspects of King of Queens another time. But
it's there.
Yeah. And I just like looked at my mom and I was like, that bastard. And she was like, you're not allowed to say that. That's like a bad word. I was like, no, it's not. It's like a word they say in the old times.
Yeah. Bastard never felt like a bad word. I remember hearing the phrase rat bastard when I was younger and absolutely loving it. And
that's a cool. Yeah. It just snaps. So now you got these guys. They just want to be big old bastards because that's what gets the ratings.
And they are. And they are.
And see, that's why I like a reality show that is more real people. Like, they just did a new season of My Strange Addiction.
Okay.
It's like
I can get into this
10 years later.
Because that's a little closer to documentary.
Yes.
And, like, I wouldn't call, like, it's crazy to call, like, Real Housewives a documentary series.
Yeah.
But, like, these, like, 600-pound life intervention, My Strange Addiction, even 90 Day Fiancé to a way, like they're normal people, at least.
They're normal people. And like the new season of My Strange Addiction was so hard to watch. It was so, so hard. They did a couple that like drinks each other's pee. There was like a guy who eats raw meat. It was a lot. But then it ends on a happy note with this couple where the husband drinks the wife's breast milk. And it ends with the doctor being like, actually, this is like pretty normal. It's not a problem if like you enjoy doing it. And they're like, yeah, we're the only couple that was like, you can do this.
We got permission from the doctor. Colostrum is actually really good developmental aid. Get nuts, get jacked, drinking breast milk. Yeah.
Good for me. But then the guy who was eating raw meat had like 5 rare types of E. coli in his system. And the doctor was like, you will die.
That's fucking crazy. And like, that show is interesting in that they follow, but I get scared in situations like that because our society puts such a paramount on fame. Like, no kid wants to be, like, when we were growing up, kids wanted to be, like, teachers, lawyers, doctors. You maybe even only knew about 5 jobs, right? It was like the Lego man jobs. You're like, are you going to be a cop, a fireman, a doctor, a blah, 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 you know?
Or if you were a kid and you were an asshole, people would be like, you're going to be a lawyer.
Yeah. Oh, like whenever you were a wise ass, like someone should go to law school. Yeah. No way. No way, Ashley Ray. Yes way, Ashley Ray.
Yeah.
I believe it. I fucking believe it. But the thing, like, now everyone wants to be famous so bad.
Yeah.
And it makes sense.
For bad reasons.
For bad reasons. But it does make sense that you can have like a career just being kind of famous. Like, you can like live, you can live in a fucking hype house with six other fucking
with six
freaks,
other kids,
clout
and you're just
chasing
like
assholes.
Yeah, and you're just like, I'm famous because I'm the one who drinks my pee.
Right.
So,
but the thing that gets me in my head a little bit is like these shows like My Strange Addiction, like, so, like someone might be putting something on, and we know how production of these shows go. It's like,
yeah,
well, my husband actually eats red meat. It's like, is he addicted to it? It's like, well, no. It's like, well, for the sake of the
enjoys,
yeah,
it, can but you, like, for the show
can you talk it up and you can blah blah blah, and like that's what stresses me out, is that, and I guess this is something that had to have happened 20 years ago, but I feel like we're heading down a path and we're rewarding like really bad behavior.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
The fact that you just get paid for quote tweets and like, so like if you just write like Martin Short sucks,
and then everyone spends all day arguing in your comments like, how dare you say this? And then you get a paycheck from X for like $800 or whatever.
Yeah.
It's so dumb. It's just, and in My Strange Addiction in this last season, there was one addiction where I was like, okay, we're kind of stretching this. There was this woman who was like, I'm addicted to sleeping with my blow dryer. And she would like with it on.
Okay, that's crazy.
Not just like with it on. And then she was like, I've burned myself 4 times. But then even her kid was kind of like, I mean, she doesn't do it all the time. Like, it's just sometimes she's sleeping with a blow dryer. So, okay. And I was like, you know, just get like a heated pillow or something, ma'am. Like,
they have cool setting, right? Throw it on cool. Oh, is it the noise? Does she need like a white noise machine?
She likes
maybe
the noise and the heat. Yeah.
Okay. I like the noise and the heat. That's an interesting Tinder profile.
Yeah, the noise and the heat.
Bring
baby.
The noise and the heat, baby. I got you, mama.
Yeah. So there is a new reality show coming that I don't know where it falls in this, because first it's part of The Bachelor, which I as a whole feel is horrible.
Yeah, I have issues. My wife is similar. She likes all this these follow docs, the Real Housewives, but when it comes to the romance ones, she says awkward kissing, like for her, awkward kissing is like one of the most difficult things to watch.
I hate watching awkward kisses. I hate reality show kissing. 90 Day Fiance is the worst at this because they like really turn the sound up on the kisses. I hate it.
I'm not here for any of that stuff. Stresses me out. I don't like seeing that. And then Bachelor hovers around that world of people who just kind of want to be famous too, and that kind of stresses me. Like, if it's a competition reality show with like a skill set, even Survivor, which I don't watch and doesn't really have, but like I loved Project Runway. I loved Top Chef.
Oh, I love Project Runway.
Yeah.
Did you do the new season, Project Runway All-Stars?
I actually watched a few episodes recently, and I was really fucking impressed. Christian
is awesome.
It was good.
Yeah. I love Christian Siriano as the host.
He was so good. Yeah, and I probably watched the first 8 seasons.
Same.
And then just never watched it again, and I guess it never really went away. And then, like, I threw it back on. I'm like, this feels fucking good again. And it was fun that it was Christian, because of the seasons I watched, I did remember
him. Always remember Christian's season. And they had really good designers who came back for All-Stars. I liked it, even though it did get kind of boring. Like, after a while, it was pretty clear who was going to win. And then it just kind of was like, okay, we're just marching towards this person's inevitable win. But, you know, those shows I like. But The Bachelor, like you said, it's people who you know just want Instagram followers, who are like, yeah, I'm here to just be famous. But now they're doing the Golden Bachelor, where they're bringing in an old man who I think is like, I don't know, in his 70s or something.
What? That's like real old. That's not even like,
Not like Hollywood old, but that's like elderly. And then they're bringing in women of that same age. So it's the Golden Bachelor, and they've released profiles of these women. And they're all just sweet, amazing people. They're like, oh, my name is Sarah, and I'm proud of my credit score. Like, I'm Anne, and I love my knitting group. And
now,
I'm
this
like,
shit, wait, hold on, because this is getting my juices flowing in a number of ways here, because it's someone who's already, like, lived their life and is a fully realized person and isn't.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll have a handful of fame-hunting psychos out of these old baddies.
Always.
But I also am attracted to older women, so there's a whole nother layer here. I'm sure the fucking cougar hunting, MILF hunter crap, the people who grew up
watching
MILF stuff on browsers are going to be tuning in. Yours truly. Give me the Golden Bachelor where it's like a 30-something year old guy and a bunch of 60-70 year old women.
There you go.
That's like literally my search terms.
On both sides would make everyone happier. Yeah. And it's just, I don't want to see these old ladies get abused by mean producers who are like forcing them to cry.
Them to have like three drinks. It's like, I haven't had a drink since my first husband passed.
And now you're shit faced on television.
Right. I hate my fucking grandson. You know, like, oh no.
And now actually I'm like, maybe this is going to be the best version of The Bachelor we ever see created.
Are you hyped for it?
I am extremely hyped for it. It's out September 28th. I cannot wait.
I'm very curious because I hope that the whole tone of the show is a little different, because this is foreseeably people who actually may want to find love.
Yes.
Like, or have an understanding of like, I'm around for 15 more years. I can handle a partner.
Yeah. And I don't want to spend it alone.
Right, yeah.
So I kind of have some faith in it, but I'm also just like, I don't know.
But like
when
you're like a 21-year-old cocktail waitress, I don't really care about looking for love. You're like, I haven't found anyone yet. You're like, no shit, babe. You're like a young child. Like, no.
Exactly. Like when I watch like Love is Blind or any of that, like Too Hot to Handle. And I'm like, you're a 22-year-old. Yeah. What are we pretending?
What do you need love for
here?
Right now? I mean, like, I understand we all love and need love, but what
feels
do you need
good.
A partnership for right now? You don't need to get married now.
You need to find a stable income or something.
Yes, yeah.
Like, we're really rushing
to read a fucking book, baby.
Did you watch After the Altar?
No, and I don't
Love
even know.
Is Blind.
I'm not a Love is Blind guy. I can't do Love is Blind. I can't do 90 Day Fiancé. I did the first season of Love is Blind, and it was, what's the word I'm looking for? Novel. Like the premise of it was interesting and novel, but the people upset me so much. Like the second it got to be like, people were like, you know, the gameplay came in. I'm like, I don't even give me Love on a Spectrum. Fucking give me 10,000 episodes of Love on
Love
a Spectrum.
Love on the Spectrum is the best. I mean, that makes me feel like people are good. The world is a good place and love is possible for anyone. And then Love is Blind makes me go, oh, people are horrible. And
maybe
no
it's
one
cuffing season over here.
Yeah. You don't watch Big Brother, but okay. Big Brother Portugal has been going viral on Twitter this week. I don't know if you've seen these videos, but did you know on Big Brother in Europe, they just have sex on camera, like just very blatantly. And it's not like it's just happens.
Okay, I'm going to come clean about some shit here real quick, Ashley. I have never watched Big Brother, but I have watched an abundance of Big Brother international clips on, let's say, tube sites of sorts. Because I really we're here. You and I are friends. When I watch pornography, I don't really enjoy professionals. I like the kind of amateur, action. I think that's a little hotter, a little less of a facade is up. And so I sometimes find myself watching like CCTV footage of two Brazilian big brothers having sex in the shower.
They just have set in those. And I'm a young girl, but I was clutching my pearls watching this footage. It went viral. It's the Portugal version of the show. And basically this girl and the guy she likes are having sex. Okay, totally normal. They're even being polite. And even though everyone else is in the room sleeping with them, they're covering themselves with a blanket at first. And then I guess like it just was going so long that the guy in the bedroom, like in the bed next to them, was like, you know what?
That is awesome.
And you literally like and the girl is talking about it, and she's like, yes. And then so-and-so came and he was just like so big and fun. And so then both of them joined. And then they interview another housemate. And he's like, I had to pull out the popcorn because at this point it was a show. And the clip is literally just like this girl getting a train ran on her. and everyone else in the room just like looking over like, how beautiful.
Shit.
That's so gorgeous. clutching my pearls like, what is this television? Where, what
are we as a
society?
Listeners don't need to know this, but I'm going to do it.
Like maybe
dive on Big Brother Portugal. Thank you.
I'll send it to you. Because also people were posting about it in Portuguese. So I'm like trying to translate and find translations of like, what is happening? Because I did not realize you could like have actual sex on these shows. I thought there were standards and rules and a Lord in heaven who kept these things from happening. But
dude,
no.
That's fucking awesome.
Maybe I can find it. Because it truly is like the wildest footage I have ever seen of a reality show.
I love it. I love, because I remember seeking that out like a few years ago, finding out that on international season, some of them hooked up, like, you know, finding some like handsy stuff in the hammock from some people or whatever. But then you've now apparently what sounds like the Portugal's popping off.
Yeah, here, I got you a clip. Let me just put this in the chat because truly, and don't worry, it also has the subtitles so you can really.
That's awesome.
And it's just like with the lights on.
Oh.
It's not even in the dark.
My God.
It's truly like
and
lights
the,
on.
Whoever, at Real Nafu, who posted this, says Big Brother Portugal is on a whole different level. Holy shit. It's not, they're not hiding at all. My man's is pumping.
Right? They're not hiding at all. And then the other guy's just like, come on, let's do this.
Oh my God. Yeah, he starts holding her hand, then he stands up and walks over there. Oh man, oh, this is fucking pretty hot. I'm glad I found the Twitter official press release. I'm gonna find the fucking dirty raw footage. Raw,
yeah,
pun intended.
Go find the whole episode apparently, because apparently on Big Brother they're just doing wild. I just had no idea this was even allowed.
It's fucking
now I'm
radical.
A little like, maybe I'm with the teenagers. We don't
yeah,
need
no,
sex in movies and TV.
Way less sex. We were talking about that the other day on Action Boys, my movie podcast. We were discussing like, we're all 40-something-year-old, straight guys on the pod, and we're watching 70s, 80s, and 90s movies, and we're craving sex scenes, not even just for, like, pure horniness, just because it, like, feels like you're watching an adult movie, like a grown-up movie. What are these facts? Is it actually a thing amongst young people, or is it one of those things where it's, like, 8 people on Twitter seem to have
yeah.
a way larger voice than normal? Because, like, a lot of stuff that I get from X and or here on Twitter or from peers, I'm always like, how big is that actually? Because I don't know a lot of I don't know a lot of Gen Zers who are like,
yeah, I mean, I have like a lot of nieces, nephews in that age group, and they all do think it's gross, but they typically are like, I think it's gross because like when I watch things with my parents, I don't want to have to see that with them. And I'm like, how often are you watching things with your parents?
Yeah. I mean, that was like a weird part of watching movies growing up, is like when my dad would turn to me and be like, she's a snapper, huh, Johnny? And I'd be like, oh, you ruined boobies for me right
oh,
now.
No.
Yeah. One of our theories we threw out there is that like we didn't have online porn growing up. And so these kids did. It's less of like I need some sort of titillation to happen during this movie. And like, because we have like nostalgia for like the sex scene in Jade or whatever, you know, you're like edging through a fucking hour and a half long movie to get to it or whatever. But I wonder if because they have porn, it's so siloed now that like,
yeah.
oh, well, if I want to be titillated, I put on porn and I never watch porn in a AMC theater or with 6 friends at a party.
Yeah. So why would I have this in a
right.
show?
Why would I put this in a TV show? Why would I put this in a
seems to be what they're saying. And because most of them are like, well, we're the generation that grew up with access to the most crazy perverted stuff. Like at the age of 8 years
yeah.
old, as soon as they had like iPads, they were like, we could look this stuff up. So we're more sensitive to it. And that's why we don't want it. And also they have more concerns about like actors being uncomfortable filming nude scenes and all of that stuff and seeing it all as like exploitative. And it's like that makes, but I also am like, well, we're at a stage now in TV and film where there's so many like intimacy coordinators. It's like the safest time.
Oh yeah.
To be looking at nudity in film. Like this isn't the, you know, 80s, 90s where you're like, oh, that girl didn't want to do that with Marlon Brando and they
yeah,
made her.
Yeah, actors are more empowered than ever before, I feel like. Or hopefully there are more. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Because I actually had never even really done a sex scene except for like a like joke sex scene in a sketch or something. But I shot like a presentation with some company, and I had a sex scene in the show, and we used an intimacy coordinator. And in all honesty, it felt great to just have like a third person there, so that like they were in between the director and us in a way where we could ask her questions. I could ask her questions to ask my scene partner without having to like go to my scene partner of like, should I put my hands right on your hips while I fake doggy style you? Like, or is that like too aggro, you know? And then you just learn how to smash your hip bone into a butt cheek at a certain angle and make it look like solid pumping. And but having an intimacy coordinator there was radical, was like truly like a game changer. Like everyone felt more comfortable. My scene partner, myself, the director, because the director could say to this, is it possible to get them to? And it's like, it's not even possible. So good. So we're not going to make either of them try to do something.
We're not even going to try.
It was rad. Yeah. And it's so infrequent now anyway, because so many movies are made for like the PG-13 four quadrant.
Yeah, the PG-13, you know, but even, I mean, I guess there was the woman who went viral because she took her husband to see Oppenheimer. And anytime there was nudity on the screen or boobs, she would be like, you have to look away.
But there's so much content made for young people without like, you know what I mean? Like Oppenheimer is for adults. It's a 3-hour biopic by Christopher Nolan. Like if you're going to that, you have to just deal with what's going to be in that. Go see Paw Patrol. Zero tits in Paw Patrol is my bet.
No tits in Paw Patrol. Even the Barbie movie, pretty PG.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
It has one.
There's so many other options.
I just don't want to see. And I'm like, if you don't want to see boobs in a movie, stay the fuck home. You'll never see
stay
one.
Stay home.
If you don't want your kid to be around a certain type of language, your kid shouldn't go to this restaurant. Like just kids can do whatever they want now. Like parents just have this like energy towards their kids where like, yeah, you're free, be yourself. And I'm like, I love that. As someone who had a super strict upbringing, let your kids freak flag fly. But that stops at like talking during the movies, shouting at restaurants, like unless it's like a loud bar or a brewery, which apparently is exclusively for kids these days.
All the videos of kids at the movies, and they're on iPads, just fully on iPads at the movies with sound on and just like playing games. It's like, why did you bring
your
child
here? Doesn't have to go. If you need to go to the movies but you're the only way your kid can go is if they have an iPad with no headphones on, then you're not fucking allowed to go to the movies.
You're not go to the, yeah, you lose that privilege. Sorry.
Now, I remember when I was younger in my 20s, there was a theater in Brooklyn that would have kids screenings where it would be like, no one's going to get mad if your kid makes noise during this, but it'll be adult movies, but it's for like the parents crowd who are like, yes, we're going to go sit through Oppenheimer, but no one's allowed to get mad at other people's kids for crying. And
yeah,
stuff.
Like if your kid starts crying, you got to walk out. That's the game. Like that is fair,
right?
I think.
And that's that's like everyone. But if I'm going, I'm expecting people to be quiet. I get so my movie theater rules. You're allowed to whisper to each other during trailers. And then zero talking once the movie starts.
Yes.
Not full conversations throughout the trailers. You're allowed to whisper to each other.
Whisper during the trailers because we're paying attention during the trailers. And then full silence. Don't look at your phone when the movie starts.
No, people have no idea how bright their fucking screen. Oh, dude.
Yeah, it's so bright and distracting. Even when you turn the brightness all the way down, we still see your phone.
I can see it out of the fucking corner of my eye. And it drives me so crazy. There's a lot to be said about me here that I need to just like pump the brakes a little bit. It's like no one's ruining bottoms by having their phone on like 8 seats away. But there is something I'm like, I feel like Larry David a little bit where I'm like, can't you just do the movie? Like
what's so important? You can't not look at your phone for just like an hour and a half. Come on.
I just thought of something. And this is perfect. It's not exactly TV, but it's definitely because of strike rules. I'm allowed to talk about it. I saw a Broadway show in early August. Ooh. When I was back east visiting my family, saw a wonderful show. I saw Kimberly Akimbo. It's the Tony winner. A former 101 student of mine, I taught improv 101 for years, and one of my students, Bonnie Milligan, she actually won the Tony for her role as the aunt in this movie. So I went and saw,
wow. I was like, well, congratulations to you and your teaching.
Yeah, well, thank God she had me explaining yes anding sort of it 10 years ago.
That's how you get the
this
Tony.
This woman is like bananas talented, and she absolutely crushed. I was so pumped to see it. She was so good during it. The whole show is beautiful. It's the most complicated premise, yet ends up being so universal. Like, the main character has that Robin Williams Jax disease that she looks 65, but she is 13. And so she's in junior high, but looks like an old person. But then there's also a scam that they're doing so that her friends can be in an a cappella show. Like, it's got so many stupid layers, ends up being so universal as like fear of aging and creativity all just smashed together. But all that being said, it was a Broadway show. Now, these tickets are not cheap. But it is made up of a lot of old white people who I think have the most difficult relationship. Old people in general. I'm not going to leave it to just white people. But over a certain age, phones are just like, they're not made for phones. I would say phones rang 6 times during.
Oh my gosh.
At least. And like, I think it shouldn't happen at all. But if it happens once, it should be in your head of like, fuck, is
like,
my phone
let me
on?
Check my
yeah,
phone.
Exactly. And like, I would be so fucking embarrassed if that happened to me.
I would be so embarrassed. And when I was in college, I saw Fela, the documentary about Fela Kuti, or not documentary, the musical about Fela Kuti on Broadway. I go with my stepdad and my mom, and my stepdad's phone goes off. But it's not even just that that's embarrassing. It's that his ringtone was just someone yelling, bullshitter alert, bullshitter alert. Bullshit, because he thought that was so funny.
I mean, it is kind of funny, but not when it's blasting during
it. Not when it's blasting literally in the middle of Fela, like when his wives are doing their like sad funeral dance,
right,
and then my stepdad's phone is just screaming bullshitter alert, and I was just like,
you're not my real dad. Storm out of there.
I do want to ask you about some TV that I think we can talk about because neither of us worked on it, weren't in it. Season 2 of This Fool.
Fuck, man. I think it's one of the funniest shows on TV.
Right? It's so good.
It's also got something else going for it that is very specific to my taste right now, and it's LA stuff. It's really an LA show, but an LA that I don't know shit about as a guy who moved to WeHo 11 years ago and has never moved, and all his friends live in Los Feliz, Silver Lake, in the Valley. You know, like going to like the Mexican neighborhoods and seeing all that. It really feels in a small way like an LA show, but just a perspective of LA that I would never have had. Like, and it's
yeah.
And, Frankie,
it's exactly how I feel when I watch Winning Time. I'm just like, wow, look at this LA.
Now you need time travel to get to that LA, but this,
yeah,
this is like out, and the fucking show is so funny, and they really live in a kind of world of just below magical realism where it's like, and I gotta
it's such an interesting tone. Yeah, because like sometimes you'll be like, oh, that's very just traditional sitcom, and then they'll out of nowhere do something so surreal that you're like, what?
A two-part heist episode that's like super intense, like the hostage situation, but it's also played for insane laughs with Cordry as a cop. Like it's wild.
Oh, that was one of the funniest, probably my favorite arc of the show.
It was so fucked. The shit that was happening inside there where Julio is like flipping sides to becomes on the hostage side just because he got his heart broken is like so funny.
Yeah.
the other thing that's those guys, the behind the scenes guys on that show, the dudes who made Corporate, Jake, Matt, and Pat, they're really talented guys, and you said that tone thing. Corporate really played in the weird tone world too.
Absolutely.
In a really fun way. And I think This Fool just found like a richer world of storytelling. And to be honest, like Chris Estrada is great, but Frankie Quinones is like the find of the fucking century, man.
Like, yeah. I mean, and I think if you watched Dress Up Gang, if you like knew about like the improv stuff he was doing forever ago, you knew he was going to blow up in something. And I'm so happy it was this fool, because I feel like he's truly just like playing a character he loves.
It's so funny. It's so like when he's all amped up about being security at the fucking suit shop and he takes it like super seriously and starts calling himself like a first responder and shit. Like that shit is so fucking funny to me. And he, when they're a part of the hostage situation and he starts doing push-ups to warm up, is like, and he does push-ups to warm up a few times throughout the fucking and it's such a funny real specific of dudes, of that type of macho dude, that it really makes me happy.
That bit just, it got me every time.
It always works.
It was probably my favorite show of the summer. I think
it might be. I mean, the only other show that I watched more aggressively was And Just Like That. I'm like a huge...
I mean, okay. And Just Like That is the show of the year, of the century. It is the best show ever
made.
It's
my favorite show and least favorite show of the year. I can't explain it.
Precisely.
Yeah, I cannot explain
it. Precisely. You're like the second like 40-something-year-old man we've had on the show who's like, And Just Like That is actually my favorite show.
Oh, I wonder if, because I'm of the age that I watched Sex and the City like as a TV show and fucking loved it, because it was hot women talking about sex and was pretty funny. And I was in New York. I wanted to move to New York. So it activated like a bunch of stuff. And like Tiff, my wife, was really into it. So we got into like, and Just Like That comes around, we're like, oh, we're going to give it a shot. And we hated it. I will say it like won me back a little bit in the last couple of episodes. And all right, big surprise for me. Big upset. I always loved Miranda. They've nerfed her. She is like weak and desperate.
Miranda's
now
not the same Miranda at all. It's like, what is this character? The old Miranda never would have a roommate where she can't use the bathroom because the bathroom is in her roommate's room. What, you're a lawyer. You have money.
Like, I don't understand a lot of that stuff that's going on. But I will say the surprise is Charlotte was my least favorite from the series, but Charlotte stays winning.
She's on top.
I think she really,
she is my favorite now.
I love Harry, like, too. He's so good.
Yeah.
And I've always liked her partners, Kyle MacLachlan and Evan.
She's always like been good in relationship dynamics, but they just really found their stride with her and Harry being like old sex freaks who like hate their
kids. Yes, she has Rock, her non-binary child, and like everyone, and she has like the new black friend, and so and so has a new Indian friend, so and so has a new black friend.
Everyone has their little diversity.
I saw someone on Twitter. I wish I could quote who it was. They called them everyone got their own therapy POC this season.
Exactly. It truly is just like, oh, Miranda needs Che to figure out that Miranda's a lesbian. Right. And that's the only reason Che was really
there. It's kind of crazy that we follow. Now, it would be rude to invite four female POC characters onto the show and have them just be friends of them.
Yeah, but that's kind of what they did.
They follow them a little too much in my book. It's like, now we're following 7 storylines, like, you know, like now we're at the H storyline of Nia,
like, I'm
falling for the chef.
I was literally gonna say Nia. I was like, I'm supposed to care that Nia's ex had a kid with someone and she bought him a stroller.
Right,
like,
right.
What is
I
that?
Know. And
what
I'm like, I don't know shit about Nia. Like in that last episode, Miranda's like, you are a law professor at Columbia, and I was like, she is? Oh, right. Why the fuck are you acting like this?
Why? And why are you in the? And then it just truly was like, we just did all of this so she could loop her back around and fucking the chef that she met forever ago. And then all I could think was, great, she's going to fuck this chef all night. And Miranda's going to come home from doing the BBC interview. And she's not even going to be able to use the bathroom because their roommate's going to have
in the hallway again, Miranda.
Again. Like,
and now we're like, and like Steve's got a storyline, Miranda's got a storyline, Mia's got a storyline, Seema's got a story.
You know who doesn't? Brady, their kid. They tried to kind of give him one, and then by the end of the season, he is just there to bike into scenes in the background,
and smile,
look
like,
around, smile, and bike away.
I will say the one thing that Brady has shit story, but immaculate casting. That is good casting for Miranda
and
Steve's kid.
That is good casting.
Red curly hair to find that, like.
Tall, looks both like both of them, but still a little weird. They really did nail it there.
Not like ugly, but as weird as you would imagine their kid would be.
Yeah.
Like, it's perfect. Yeah. And I, as just on a purely pure heterosexual creep vibe. Love the addition of the other characters because they're all smokes. Like Seema is so hot. And
oh, Seema is so
hot. And the
hot.
Woman whose name I can never remember who had a miscarriage.
Documentarian, I always say.
I hate her husband so much.
Honestly, I could do away with both of them. I'm just kind of like, I don't really care about Charlotte's school friend. Yes. Like, Charlotte's interesting enough. Right. They could just disappear.
And now Charlotte has
all
art friends.
All they ever do is
speak of Charlotte has art friends. You know the woman who is her boss, like who wears the midriff? That's Bonnie from Kimberly Akimbo.
From your mentorship in teaching.
That's Bonnie. I taught her everything she knows. She's riffing.
And now she's on the best show on TV.
She's riffing with Kristen Davis. I taught her that. No, level one is like where you have the least, it's pretty much just daycare for rich 20-somethings.
But it got her on and just like that. So I think that counts as a win, actually. Before we wrap up, one thing that my fans know is that you are a connoisseur of dad TV.
Oh, hell yeah. That's my...
You know, Lincoln Lawyer, Bosch, Jack Ryan. I was hoping you could give us a dad TV update. What's happening in the world of dad TV?
So because I really watch a lot of dad TV, and a friend of mine, and I think a friend of the show, Manzoukas, and I text about TV a lot. We both like this dad. And I think there's something, it's like, it's action adjacent, action thriller, mystery adjacent, with a lead of a certain age, frequently a male, and it's sort of got some male fantasy elements of like, he can't stop fucking his ex-wife and he's rich and it's this, you know, like there's a lot of like detective novels that fall into that. Bosch is a great example of like, he's a stud who lives in like a house in the Hollywood Hills, but is also a Hollywood homicide cop. Like it makes no sense. And I think this one is not very male centric, but it is special forces centric. And Paramount's Lioness. And now I'm not plugging it. Ooh. I'm just talking about it.
We're just talking about it. Don't watch it. We don't care. It's the dude. We're not telling you.
It's the dude who does all the TV now. Tyler Sheridan. I was going to say Tyler Perry. He's the guy who does all the other TV. Yeah. I'm talking about the guy who does all the old white man TV.
Tyler Taylor. So
right. Tyler or Taylor. Which one is it? Yeah. So Tay-Tay, he produces the show Lioness. And it's Zoe Saldana as like the head of a badass like special forces crew. And it's called Lioness because it's about like they have a female undercover operative that they're supporting. And it's pretty intense and pretty badass action and fun characterization. And I feel like in the recent dad TV pantheon, that's a great addition. Now, I love Bosch. Yeah. And I've watched every episode of the New Lincoln Lawyer series, but I do not enjoy the New Lincoln Lawyer. I'm like watching that out of like.
But you watched every episode.
I've watched every episode, of course. And I watched the McConaughey movie. I love Bosch. I can't get enough of Bosch, even Bosch Legacy on Freevee.
I was going to ask Bosch Legacy, which Manzoukas, he told me all about and had to explain to me since I knew nothing about it.
Yeah, it's like, it's clearly just a way to like trim. To like reset some people's salaries and trim a few characters that probably got their negotiations up too high. And we're like, I can't be in a 10th season of this fucking show. And Titus Welliver's like, I can. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Shout out Titus Welliver and Michael Connelly, the author of the Bosch novels, for seeing them on the fucking picket lines over at Paramount the last few times I've gone. So
hell
shout
yeah.
them out.
I did not know Bosch was based on a novel.
It's based on a long series of novels, a lot of them. And Lincoln Lawyer is Bosch's brother in the, because the guy also writes all the Lincoln Lawyer books, and they are actually brothers, but two different production companies own the rights, so they can never cross over in some way now. Some annoying, X-Men and Spider-Man way.
So I definitely thought Lincoln Lawyer, I thought that was like a real person because it was a movie with Matthew McConaughey and I thought he was playing like a real person.
Yes, exactly. Like he's a biopic about the guy who...
I thought it was like, some important lawyer who like helped with civil rights or something.
I definitely probably thought that when that movie came out. It was only because all my stupid friends read the Bosch novels. And then
they were like, no.
Here's another tying Bosch into this fool in a way. Bosch is a very, the books are very LA, and the show is very LA in that they discuss how they like their In-N-Out burgers. They talk about their favorite taco trucks, and they're all using real references. They like in the way, what was Issa Rae's show's name? It's Escape.
Insecure.
Insecure, I thought, was a great LA show as well.
Oh, and again, that's the one that made me fall in love with LA, because it was like, look at, like, it just loved the city so
much. For me too, and especially, like, not to keep being old white man in the story, but like, I don't know Baldwin Hills that well, you know what I mean? So like, seeing like shit like that to me was super interesting. But in Bosch, they're literally like, are we going to go to Birds? I don't really want to go. Like, it's like they talk about like real. And then there's always like a moment.
It's like Birds isn't that great. It's a little.
Yeah. It's like, it's mostly UCB people getting drunk. So that's kind of fun. Birds, the bar, last time I was there, it's been a while, has a passage from a Bosch novel framed where they reference Birds. They'll be in a car chase and they'll be like, meet me down where La Cienega crosses with Melrose Place. Like, they like use like super specific directions. It's clearly been like fact checked. Like, oh.
I do love that. You know, Apple TV got into the dad TV game. Have you watched Hijack with Idris Elba?
Of course.
I thought that counted as dad TV.
It 100% did. I can't believe I left it off my list. Yeah.
I watched it all in a night. I kind of fell in love with it. And then at the end was like, oh, this could have been a movie.
It would have been great 2-hour movie. It was instead, like a lot of shit that's on TV these days, it would have been a banging 2-hour movie. Instead, it was a fine 8-hour series.
A perfectly fine 8-hour series that I watched until 4 a.m. and then was like, yep, okay.
I will watch Idris Elba do almost. I mean, the premise of the show is they pitch is like, he's a top shelf negotiator stuck in a hostage situation, and then by the end of it he's like bashing a guy's head in with a pistol, and you're like, wait, I just wanted to see, like, he really didn't negotiate
no. much of it. And also, we never like see him even before the plane like negotiate a deal and see like, oh, he's so good. It's truly just him being like, I think I can handle this. I think I can manage this situation on this plane.
And I think the reasoning for that is that it is in real time, which is kind of cool, like, but that does get boring as a viewer. It's like, there's a reason you time jump and edit in fucking
And
features.
Time jump and edit instead of showing us the same timeline from another character's perspective the fourth time. And I'm like, I get it. The girl found the bullet. Okay, like, let's keep going. But I did think it was pretty solid dad TV. So.
Yeah, I'm with you there. The most recent other dad TV I've been enjoying was Mayor of Kingstown, which is Jeremy Renner as a guy who like lives in a town full of prisons, and like prisons are the entire economy. So it's all about prisoners, wardens, lawyers, releases, gangs on the outside. And he's trying to keep the peace. These are the shows that fuck you up though, when you're like a fucking ACAB leftist. And then you're like, who's your favorite character on the show? It's like, oh, the SWAT guy who kills criminals extrajudiciously. Like, it's like, oh, the thing you rail against all the time is like, well, I'm like, I like it in movies.
But in movies, it's fun. When it's fake, when it's not real, it's the best time.
Yeah. And of course, I know these movies ruined me as a kid, and I had to like be deprogrammed for my fascist beliefs.
You know, but once that happens, it's like, it's just a good time. Okay?
Yeah, I was making the joke for a while that I was like, I shouldn't have been like an 11-year-old kid who had strong opinions about internal affairs. Like, let him do his job, for fuck's sake. Get out of the way, all these fucking...
Come on. But it's like, I watched SVU. Of course, I was like, come on, let Stabler knock his shit out.
He should just be able to beat the fuck out of this guy. Like, I don't know.
We know he did it. We know he did it. And then by the end of the episode, it's like another person entirely, and you're just like, whatever, to get to the truth.
That's how you know Law & Order has been fucking running cover for the fucking police industrial complex forever.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're going to wrap up here. This was such a fun episode. I think, listeners, you got a lot here that we've talked about that you can go watch.
Hell yeah.
I mean, hell yeah. I would say start with Hijack. Just get into the TV, the dad TV.
Yeah, I would say start with Hijack. Get pumped for what sounds like the Golden Bachelor. And if you aren't watching the series alone, there's at least a season on like every streaming service. It is like a History Channel show that has most of its episodes on Hulu. But you can find a season or two on Netflix. You can find a season or two almost anywhere. It eliminates everything I dislike about reality shows. There's no host. There's no like interview. Like eventually it does get a little boring and a little, this last season was like mega monotonous, but it is like an anthropological study of humanity as you watch people just get hungrier and crazier as time goes on. And like truly non-media trained professionals that have no desire to be in the media. Like whenever you watch like a person on Bachelor, you're like, this person wants to be famous. But when you watch this a toothless woman who's like, I just want to buy a plot of land in Alaska, you're like, hell yeah, honey, you better fucking
win. Yes, you deserve it, girl.
Golden alone. It's all like 70-year-olds just dying in the fucking woods.
And it sounds better than what I've been doing, which is I watched all three seasons of Hotel Hell.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know why. It's like a Gordon Ramsay show where he goes to shitty hotels and fixes them.
I love that shit. I've always said another unscripted show I've always loved was Shark Tank. And I wish there was a website you can go to where like it's like Mark Cuban actually made the most money off this. He lost the most money off this. This person is
somebody
succeeding
out
for
there has to.
I know.
That.
I gotta, you know, there's probably some intense Reddit thread about all this.
Yeah, there is some nerd. If there's someone, there's someone out there who keeps track of every bar rescue bar that shuts down or succeeds, someone's definitely keeping track.
Yeah, I'm at Gabrus on all social media. Listeners, hit me there with that link if you got one.
Info.
Yeah, if you're one of those Shark Tank accounting freaks, please let me know ASAP.
Yes. I won't let these sirens go past.
Oh shit, it's Bosch. You're under arrest.
It's Bosch. It's Bosch. Bosch is coming down Riverside. John, I want to thank you so much for joining me. This was such a fun conversation.
Always is with you, and, boo.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And, you know, come back anytime. We should have you and Manzoukas come on and just do a whole dad thing.
Let's go. Let's go. Yeah. Let the two fatherless 40-somethings come on and scream about dad television. I mean, childless. I mean, I am fatherless as well. I can't speak for Jason, but I know we're both childless.
Yeah. You know, you fathered a generation of hipsters.
Yes.
And that's what
that's
matters.
All that matters.
And listeners, if you want to support the actors and the writers of these many wonderful shows we talked about, you can go to the picket lines. If you're in New York or LA, go join us. You can drop off food. You can drop off water. And if you're not in LA or New York, or you don't feel like going to a picket line because it has been so hot lately, I get it. You can still donate money to the Entertainment Community Fund, which helps non-actor Hollywood crew members who suffer hardships due to the strike. You can donate at entertainmentcommunity.org and make sure to direct your gift to the film and television category when asked.
Hell yeah.
John, anything else you want to plug? Anything you want the people to know?
Yeah, check out PAX.com for my era. See if it's for sale in the state near you. They are delivering, so... depending if you're what your state is, but I know we are in California shops and New York shops now. So check them out there. Get yourself a little custom PAX era with a little high and mighty art design on it from yours truly. And
it's really cute.
Yeah. And even if you don't give a shit about me, it's a cute pen that works well. The pods are pricey, but they are fucking good, pure rosin.
Work. They're pure rosin. It's a live rosin pod that came with that baby.
It works wonders, but it ain't cheap. It shouldn't be. It's compressed high-quality cannabis. So.
It's very high, so it's about worth what it should be. I want to thank my guest, John Gabrus, so much for joining me. What an absolutely wonderful conversation. Also, listeners, if you want to support the actors, the writers who make the shows you love, if you're in LA or New York, you can join us on a picket line to drop off food or water, or hey, get out there and pick it too. You don't have to be in the union to come support us. You can also donate money to the Entertainment Community Fund, which helps non-actor Hollywood crew members who suffer hardships due to the strike. You can donate at entertainmentcommunity.org and make sure to direct your gift to the film and television category when asked. And TV Club, make sure that you're caught up on a few things. I want you to watch Winning Time because, well, it got canceled. So, hey, if you weren't watching it, go watch it now. It's a whole series because it got canceled. We'll also be getting into The Golden Bachelor, which I cannot wait for. I'm also going to ask you to get ready for Below Deck Mediterranean because our girl, Captain Sandy, she's coming back. I cannot wait. And that's it. That's all. That's your homework. Okay. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back with another episode. TV I Say with Ashley Ray is an Earwolf production made by me, Ashley Ray Harris. It's engineered by Abby Aguilar, produced by Anita Flores, executive produced by Amelia Chapelo, and our original theme song is by Rafia. It means so much to me if you go rate, review, subscribe, follow TV I Say. Let us know what you think and tell your friends. Share with your golden girls, tell your boys.
If you love my TV recommendations, let everyone you know know. For special TV Club members, join my Patreon.